Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for choosing your life. So thank you that you never, never seen from your lips. How can you be the one who has been so good to you? Nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is no one.
Bless you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, you deserve it. All of our praise. All of our worship, Lord.
Oh. No one can take your place. Thank you. Thank you.
Father, I thank you. Father, I praise you. Father, I glorify your name. I thank you for how far you have brought me. I recognize that you have brought me this far, that no mere man has brought me this far, but you have, Lord. You kept me in the midst of the storm, and you brought me through. Lord, I remember when we had so many people, and you kept us. And when there was nobody at all, you kept us. Lord, you are still keeping us, showing us how awesome, how mighty you are. Lord, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth today. Touch the north, the south, the east, and the west. And allow us this word go forth this morning that it would bring a clear understanding to those that hear it. Father, I thank you for even yesterday we had such a wonderful time here on this here Blog Talk Church line with Apostle Stewart and Minister Jones and Prophetess Cheryl. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for giving us an ear to hear, eyes to see, and a mouth to speak, God. Thank you for Prophetess Alicia Polite. Thank you for how you're raising her up, Lord. Oh, God, you're blessing her to go forth and declare your truth. She's one that we gave a license to. And then she got licensed again with another pastor. But we thank God that you're blessing her. We ask, oh God, that you continue to order her steps. Let your word be a lamp unto their feet, her feet, and a light unto her path, oh God. God bless her when she go and bless her when she return. Father, we're careful this morning as we go into this message. Let me get my King James up. Yes, Lord. As we go into this message, we want to talk this morning about understanding the evil we are facing in this age. Understanding the evil that we are facing in this age, in this time, in this season. There are evil everywhere, and you can't hide from it. It's everywhere. We want to go to the book of Genesis first. Father, we just ask, God, that you bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clear, and that you allow me to see and hear and speak your truth. Father, let there be none of me but all of you. And as I decrease this morning, oh God, as always, I ask you to increase, oh God. But most of all, Father, we are asking that you speak through us as we yield our members to you, for you are God and God all by yourself. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll see where this evil deception started that sent mankind spiraling down the mountain. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 15. This worship song is so powerful. I just have to see how far he's brought us. Sometimes we get to a place, some people get to a place that they forget that it's God who brought us all the distance. We didn't get to this place on our own merit. We didn't get the nice home, the 4-car garage, the 2-car garage, the 2 swimming pools, 3 swimming pools. We didn't get it all on our own. God brought us this far. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. You brought us this far. See what the Lord has done. We are here. I have a doctor's appointment. I have a new doctor. I got to go visit him today for the first time. Because my doctor just closed his practice or do something else. And everybody had to look for new doctors. So I got a new doctor. Just got to go let him check me out this afternoon. So we're going to release this word. We are going to release this word this morning. And the Lord's going to bless the airways as he did yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. Every day he blesses the airways. I want to read a couple of books inside here today and see how far the Lord has brought us. We see that Brother Deacon Fraser's on the line. He haven't been here for a little while. But, you know, we thank God for him whenever he comes that he is here. You know, we praise God for his life and his family's life. And we are excited about God, and God is excited about us. You know, he's excited about us because we praise him, we honor him, and we magnify his name. His name is Jesus, and we can't get away from it. He is our Redeemer. Here in the book of Genesis chapter 2, and verse 15. And God took the man and set him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And God commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Now, when God gives us a command, we ought to follow. God does not let us go and fall into a ditch without letting us know that the ditch is there. And that we have to make a detour from the ditch. If we go into the ditch, there's consequences. In the King James Version, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You don't have to have eyes to know what God is saying. All you need is 2 ears. You don't have to see the writing on the wall. All you need, God is speaking loud, saying, if you sin, you will surely die. And Paul told us by the Spirit of God
that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. If we continue, we talked about this yesterday, if we continue to sin and think that we are going to heaven, we are just fooling ourselves. If we be in agreement with foolishness and think we're going to heaven, oh, look, I'm going to go down the road, I'm going to hang out with these folk, and whatever they do, I'm going to do, because I'm going to have a good time, and think I'm still going to heaven. No, I'm not going. I'm going to go to hell. Hell is just waiting for me to come on in so it can burn me up day after day after day, so it can torment me day after day after day. That's all hell wants to do to me. Hell don't have no love for me. There's no love in hell. All is in hell is teach. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 47. You will die. You, the devil says to the man and the woman, well, he spoke to the woman, straight to her, because Adam was somewhere else doing whatever he was doing. Let's start at verse 1. The serpent was shrewd. He was the shrewdest or most cunning or subtle animal of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Genesis chapter 3, King James Version. Now, this is an NLT. Let's go to King James Version. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree, of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you see, she adds some stuff to what God said. We got to be careful when we're trying to add to what God is saying. God tell you one thing straight up. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. The knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat of it, you should surely die. That's all God says. Now, she said God said that you should not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden and not touch it. God's not talking about touch it. He never said touch. Don't touch it. And see, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Isn't this what the serpent is doing to the people in the United States of America, in Russia, in Germany, in Ukraine, and Belize, and Barbados, Trinidad, and all the countries? Isn't that what he's doing in Africa? He's telling the people that if they keep dimming and dabbing in witchcraft, they're not going to die. If they continue to fornicate and commit adultery, if they continue to lie and curse and cheat, if they continue to mock God, they're not going to die. We just had here in our state thousands of warlocks and witches. Satanic people were dressed here in a big convention they had, celebrating evil. And they were tearing up the Bible, tearing the leaves out of the Bible and throwing on the floor. And they was mocking God, calling the Bible all kinds of names that's not in the book. For God does not say this. Satan asked to Eve. He said to Eve, he said unto her, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, and this is where a lot of preachers run off and saying that we are like God, but we are not like God. We are God's children. We are not gods. Some of them I hear people say that, I hear Craig Lord Dollar said in this one sermon that we are little gods. We are not little gods. We don't need to be little God that he big God. We are the children of the Most High God. We are the children of the Most High God. My son is not David. He is my son, but he's not David. He is Benjamin. No. Satan has no got her all messed up now, because no, he tell her that when her eyes open, she'll be as gods. They'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, listen, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and entreat to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I want you to understand that the Bible said that she saw. She saw. This is before her physical eyes was open, so she could see spiritually that the tree was good to look upon. But then when her natural eyes were open, when their natural eyes were open, they could see that they were naked. Today's world is totally entrenched in evil. Today's world is totally entrenched in evil. Some known and others unknown surrounds us. Some we have experienced personally, and others we take into the kaleidoscope of scenes. Smartphones, tablets, computers, and TVs enveloping an increasingly chaotic lives. But imagine if these evils did not exist. What would the world look like? It may be a difficult concept to grasp against the murk of the present age. Yet a time is coming when evil will no longer permeate our planet. But how will that happen? We're talking about today understanding the evil we're facing in this age. And we just read from the scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and we read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we let you know where the evil started. Evil started when disobedience took place in the garden. It started there. When we disobey God's instructions, we are doing evil. We're committing evil to when we disobey God. So we disconnect. In some way, we disconnect ourselves from God. God don't disconnect himself from us. God said he will never leave us or forsake us. But we leave God when we want to enjoy, do what we want to do, where we want to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Understanding good and evil. To understand how evil will ultimately be removed, we need to understand what evil is. People often think it's subjective based on one's own desires and experiences. But evil can never be ended with that as the trademark. Rather, an abundant life free from evil requires allowing the Creator God to define good and evil. Evil is a concept introduced to humankind when first created in the Garden of Eden. The roots going back even further to a rebellious angel who became known as Satan. The first human being, Adam and Eve, had the opportunity to live eternally without the consequences of evil, but they had to make a choice. They could accept the ways of God. They could accept the ways God taught them and partake of the tree of life. Or they could take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, effectively defining good and evil for themselves. With this deceitful and cunning enticement of Satan as the serpent in the garden, all first human parents from the latter placing their own judgment ahead of their creators. You see, a lot of times we do things that make us feel good when God has already told us if you go to the edge of that cliff, you stand a good chance of falling off and dying. But we have pressed ourselves, no, I'm going to the cliff because at the cliff, I'm going to have joy. One lady, I think it was earlier this year, I don't know what state she was in, but she was, I think she was in Arizona somewhere. I said she was on this high place, somewhere in the desert, and she was going on the edge of the very cliff, on the mountain, you can call it. But I think my wife said it was called the cliff. She was on the cliff, and she was going trying to take a picture. And she kept her backing up, and eventually she fell right off the cliff. She was going to the extreme because she wanted to have this picture look a certain way. She pressed herself, and she fell off, and the people that were with her couldn't believe it. God always warns us before we fall into sin. He does not just say, "My son, just go on and do what you're going to do. I'm going to put." He tells us if we continue to sin, we will die spiritually. God tells us that. But then you have Satan telling you, "Well, this is your life. Live your life how you want to." This is what the people are telling you right now. If you walk through Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Connecticut, and you go into Washington, D.C., go into Virginia, go into Mississippi, you go into Texas, Tennessee, Utah, Arizona, Minnesota, wherever you go, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, wherever you go, you can hear women and men saying, "This is my own body. This is my body. I do what I feel to do with it." May God tell you straight up. He said, if you continue to sin, you will die. And he's talking about dying spiritually. Because he already knows that this flesh, as I said somebody less than this flesh got to go back. It's got to go back to the dirt from where it came from. We say it in the graveyard. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. You got to go back where you came from. Because this body is so sinful. This flesh is so filthy. It cannot enter into the holy place where God is. Hallelujah. That's why we got to repent every chance that we get, and we got to ask God to create in us a clean heart and the right spirit, because this body's no good. It's filthy. You can preach for 100 years, and yes, here comes this pretty little girl. Here comes this attractive man. And all of a sudden, you have this man, have your husband for 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you want to go sleep with this man. You want to go sleep with this woman, because the flesh is nasty. The flesh wants what it wants, when it wants, and whenever it wants. We're talking about understanding the evil we're facing in this age. In this season, in this time, the evil that we're facing. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We did Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy. In the King James Bible. I got three Bibles before me, so I'm going to move back and forth. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. For the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So, you know, I say all the time, I remember when I was in the world and I was living the worldly lifestyle. If I saw a police car, or even if I hear a police siren and see the lights in my rearview mirror, or the right foot that's on the gasoline, I tell you something goes wrong, went wrong with it. It go into spasm. It had caught a muscle spasm because why? Maybe at the time I just come from doing something wrong. I was going to do something wrong because I wasn't living a righteous life. So the Lord had this pull on my spirit, man, that brought fear. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. So when we are walking righteous, we don't have that fear. Hallelujah. It doesn't trouble us because we are under the covering of God and we know that we are doing right. Listen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Despite this disastrous early attempt at man-made morality, God's word is clear about good and evil in 1 Timothy 1 and 8. It tells you Romans 7 and 12. It speaks very clearly. Hallelujah. God speaks clearly to us what he expects of his children. Like you talk, like we talk to our sons and our daughters and even our grandsons and our granddaughters. We speak to them and we give them sound advice how we want them to live, how we would love to see them living. Even the ones when they're off, going off to school, we try to impart some wisdom in them, but don't make sure you don't get caught up with these kids over here. You know, some kids that they don't listen to their parents. The parents don't talk to them. The parents are busy doing what they're doing. You try to walk according to God's word. We try to talk to them. Hallelujah. Because we know the truth. We don't want them to be have to be worrying about what the police, when the police come, that they're going to get arrested. We don't want to hear the stuff. He said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, but still the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. We know that we are under grace and not under law, but the law still works. Because Jesus said he didn't come to abolish or abandon the law, but he came to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilling Christ, but we still have to honor what God says. You know, some people say, well, we're not on the law. I can have 3 or 4 wives. In some countries, they got more than that. Here in America, they have a wife and a sweetheart, a honey on the side. They have a husband and a boyfriend on the side, you know. Tell them to get caught. But God said if you do it right, you don't have to worry about the law. The law is for those that are continue in sin. In sin. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes if you're walking right, you know, when you're walking right, when you're living right, the police somehow know who you are. Do you know that? They see my car, and they probably don't even look at me. Some other people that they know live in certain areas around here, the police will stand up and follow their car. I said, I don't know what. The police follow their car. I said, oh, you know. Watch, I said, the car make a left, the police make a left. The car make a right, the police make a right. And then next thing you know, the lights throw up. Police run the information in the computer in the car. And they tell that person is a troublemaker. And the police go find something to pull them over, something on the car that didn't look right. They pull them over, and then they go and I'm searching the car to find something in the car because they are not living right. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 8 tells you, Romans chapter 7 and 12 let you know. God inspired the Apostle Paul to state that the law of God is good. At the heart of the law is love. Number one, that's the center of the law. Outgoing concern towards others. Excuse me. Romans chapter 13. Because this stuff is so powerful. I know they don't want this. He don't want this to come forth. All of a sudden, my throat starts itching me. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. And we're talking about understanding the evil we are facing in this age. People are looking at good and calling it bad. Looking at bad and calling it good. This is how much deception is in the earth right now. But there's also much good. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. There's much good in the earth. And there's more good in the earth than there is deception because the spirit of Yahweh is in the earth. Believe it or not, his spirit is in the earth. And we that are filled with his spirit just got to rise up. We got to rise up and begin to give him praise, give him glory. We begin to thank him for keeping us in the midst of all the storm that's going on. Mudslides, all kind of places, all places. In the desert, there's a flood going on in the desert. God said so in the book of Isaiah, and it's happening right now. Floods in the desert where there was no water at all, water coming up out the sand and flooding the desert. He says, love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of the law. You know, some folk that are in the household of faith, but they're still under the law. You know why they're under the law? Let me explain to you. They're under the law because they don't have the love of God in them. That's why there's so much fear, so much confusion, and a lot of times so deluded and distracted and deceived so easily because not having the love of God. See, when you have the love of God in you, the law don't have no control over you. Because you treat people and others the way you expect it to be treated. Yesterday I said it's not about us. It's about him. Let's go over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. We in the NLT and the King James and the Logos, three Bibles at the same time. First John chapter 5. The Epistle of John. Let's go down there. 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at verse 3. Jesus, and we'll go down. We got so many, then we'll jump down to verse 18 and 19. He says, loving God means keeping his commandments. Ooh, you hear that? How many people you know for yourself? You've been in ministry for a long time. You've been going from church to church. You have so many pastors over your lifespan in the body of Christ. How many people you hear and say, oh, I love God. Oh, he's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my Shepherd. All the nice cliches that they hear, that they have in the Bible, they use. Not cliches, but truth in the Bible. But he says here, John says, loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. But we find it difficult to keep his commandments. Why do we find it difficult? I'm glad you asked me that question. You know why we find it difficult? Because the commandments, keeping the commandments, we require us not to do certain things. The things that we want to do to suffice our flesh. Even sometimes, being a glutton, eating too much, eating until you become uncomfortable. You can't even lay down, can't sit down because you're uncomfortable. You're sinning. Wouldn't give away a piece of bread. You want to eat all the bread yourself. You want to drink all the soda, lemonade or Kool-Aid. You want to drink all yourself, and then you get uncomfortable. That's sin. That's sin. Hallelujah. I got this sermon written over here in my hand, but I'm trying to give you a little bit of time. He said, on the other hand, lawlessness or acting contrary to God's law, exalting self above God and others, is synonymous with evil. Sometimes some folks think they're more. They're better than you because they live in a better neighborhood. They drive a nicer car. They can go to any restaurant that they choose to. And they think they're better than you. Well, they know more scriptures than you know. That don't make you no more than me. That don't make me no more than you. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when we recognize that, we begin to live as part of the household of faith. We begin to see the redemptive power of God. Oh, my God, I hear you on the prayer. We begin to see the redemptive power of God working through us. I had a lady called me yesterday. Woman of God called me yesterday. And I saw her number. And I said, I didn't seem ready to talk to her at that time. And then I was sitting in the living room checking out some stuff on my computer. And I heard this person to me, call her, you need to talk to her. So I called her, and apparently what happened is, after talking to her, because she was, her spirit wasn't right at the time. Not that she was bad or anything or going to cuss or something, but she, because this is a woman, she's really sold out to the kingdom. But her spirit was disturbed. And her spirit was disturbed because the pastor told her, in so many ways, God said that she should be an elder in the church. Now, she had a death in her family. One of her family was in hospice, and she had gone away down south to see her family. And as she was going, the person passed away, crossed over. So she met with some family members and talked and stuff, and then she returned home. Well, the pastor then called her or somehow told her how she did it. She don't believe that she will be a, that she is, will be an elder. She should be a missionary. But how is God going to change his mind like that? If God tell you in a dream, if God show you a vision that some person should be an apostle, how is God going to come back and say, no, they're not an apostle, they're going to be a janitor? God don't do that. God don't do that. Because God's been checking that person out for a long time. While you haven't even been looking at them, God has been watching them. He's been spying out all their moves. All their moves. You hear what I'm saying? I know when I first got ordained, I was after I got saved, I was in the church and I was doing janitorial work and cleaning up the church and all that and picking up the trash. I was studying my word because I wanted to get the scriptures in me. And I asked my pastor, I said, I just see him walk across the altar and just call no scriptures. And then look in the book. And I said, Dad, how do you call to get the scripture like that? He said, son, you got to study every day. Every day you got to put the word in. He said, word in, word out. Garbage in, garbage out. I couldn't understand. But I figured out. I started getting some flashcards and I write down the scriptures, even in the truck when I was working for another company. I would stop, I just pull the card out and I would run the scripture over and over, put it back in my pocket. Because finally some scriptures start logging in my heart. You know, because you spend more time trying to watch television, trying to watch all these sitcoms and all these gangster shows on TV, and you want to hear all the music that's on the radio that don't give you no growth. Don't give you no spiritual growth. You want to learn every song, every hip-hop music you know, but you're a Christian. You're a Christian. Don't know one song to praise God. Can't sing one riff to give God, one genre to give God some praise. Every hip-hop song you know. So you got to put this word in. This is when we put it in, it's going to come out. Because even in this age that we're living, there's so much evil. And the only thing that's going to keep you sound is sound doctrine. Studying it, going over it, not hearing, but I got to hear Benny Hinn. I got to hear T.D. Jakes. Let me hear Creflo Dollar. Listen, they're not going to be wrong all the time. Just like I'm not going to be wrong all the time. You're not going to be wrong forever. So we have to learn this stuff and study this thing. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God and workmen that needeth not be ashamed, recognize by the word of truth. We got to study this word because why? The only thing they're going to take from us pretty soon, my name is David. Because right now what they're doing is when you put too much scripture on Facebook, they don't let them go up. They don't let them go up on the screen. But you can put some nasty, sexy stuff up there. It's right up there. I had one lady. I said, well, who is the lady? Pastor, I won't tell you a lot. Lord, I tried my best to get it off the page. It's an African-American girl. She's somewhere in Florida somewhere. You come on my page, Apostle. I tell you something. I had to ask God to wipe that picture out of my mind. I said the girl there on the screen actually had nothing on, Apostle. But they let that garbage be on Facebook. But you can't go up and testify and talk about repenting and turning your life over to Jesus Christ because he's the way, the truth, and the life. You can't go up and do it. They get mad when you're talking about when you speak against homosexual, lesbians, or sin. They get upset with you, and they say you're offending a certain set of people. It's offensive. They take it down. I've had it too many times. They said they talk against same-sex marriage and they talk about abortion. They tell me that I'm offending people. I tell you, I had it many times. Many times. They shut me down and wouldn't let me post. I could go on Facebook, but I couldn't post anything. Hallelujah. For 30 days, they say you can't post. Because what you post is offensive. See, you're posting life, but they say it's offensive. In the age that we're living in, evil is running the streets. But God is still sitting high and looking low. I want you to know that. They can't move God from his throne. And the throne that he sits on is on our hearts. They can't move him. They can kill us, but they can't move God off of the throne of our hearts. You've got to understand that. That's why we got to stay focused. And we got to stay together. Don't let the devil separate us, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring a division, so he's using deception in the church. Comes up in the church, God asks him where he going. Where he come from going to and fro. Going to and fro, seeking out people. Seeking who he may devour. And when he told me to ask the Lord, I thank you. Because he can't devour everybody. Only those that allow him, that give him access. Oh, God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Only those that give him access to their heart. The devil, because they want this, they want that. I told you, listen, look. I told her, I said, look, you just don't get mad with the pastor. He said, I have to call you because I know you're going to tell me the truth. And this woman goes every place telling people of Jesus. Lord, I tell you, can't call you. Apostle, if she call you. Oh, man, I met me a girl, a Caucasian lady friend I have, like my sister over in Virginia. Oh, Lord, if she call you seven times a day, she's going to tell you seven times about Jesus, how good he is. And this is what this woman does. She go to the dealership. They want to get her out. They want to get her out the showroom because she's trying to buy a car. She was want to buy a van. And she's talking so much about Jesus. They want to sell her van fast, give her discount, and let her go. Because she loved the Lord. And what the Lord was showing me, she was called to be an evangelist because that's what she do. But the pastor got upset with her because she was in there for Easter Sunday morning. She was somewhere in North Carolina, South Carolina, supporting her family who was sick on the deathbed. And the pastor got upset and said, you don't want to make her elder. She'll make her missionary. And I told her, I said, don't get mad with the pastor. The pastor may leave from the spirit and go on in the flesh. I said, but you keep praying and keep doing what God called you to do. And the God would test the pastor's heart again and show her who you're called to be. We talked about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes yesterday. Because when you pray about people and God show you them and he tell what they are, because God know what they're doing. He know what each and every one of us are doing. Hallelujah, we can't hide nothing from him. David said, if you go to the rock, and hide, he right there. You go in the ocean deep, he right there. Go in hell, he right there. Wherever you go, he right there. He going to see you. You can't hide from him. His eyes are too big. You can't hide. Hands too wide. You can't hide from him. He can reach you wherever you are. Here he said, look. He says, my God, this is so powerful. 1 John chapter 5, you got to hit this. He said, loving God means keeping his commandments, not one, all of them. Yeah, you're on the grace, but you still got to keep them commandments. That's why so many people are committing adultery, so many are stealing and cussing, and so many still getting drunk because they say, well, my pastor said I can have a little wine, and next thing they drink the whole bottle, you know. One lady, I went over to visit her to do something for her. She wasn't being in the same church, and I said, I thought she put up some marijuana. I said, what's that? I know what it was. She says, I smoke a little reef. I said, well, you know, I don't smoke that stuff. I said, I don't do that. I'm going to fix what you want to fix, and I've got to go. Because I'm not standing around here inhaling that stuff. She said, no, my father, she's calling the father, the priest, told her that they can have a little drink, a little smoke, or something. That's Lord, boy. I don't know which church you belong to. Go to 1 John 3 and 4. 1 John 3 and 4. NLT. 3 and 4. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. You hear that? We are under grace, but all sin is contrary to God's law. Hallelujah. So we can't run around saying, oh, I'm on the grace, so I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to shack up with this man, and I'm going to have some same sex with this man. I'm a man, and he's a man. I'm a woman, she's a woman, and I just have a desire for her. No, you can't do that. Listen to what it says. And you know that Jesus came to take away all sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in sin will not. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Do you hear that? Let me read that again for you. Anyone who continues to live in him, in Christ, who's saying that you are in Christ, will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dude, you can't comprehend. He says, dear children, verse 7, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, listen to God speaking to us. This is the word. The Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. He said, look. Oh, my God. He says, oh, God. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. Jesus said that in John. He said, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Do you hear that? He come to destroy the works. So the devil will no longer have dominion over you and I, because we belong to him. He said, look, what's that called upon? He said, those who have been born in God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Hallelujah. If we come up short one time, guess what we do? We fall on our knees and we cry out, God, forgive me. Help me not to fall like this, Lord. Strengthen me in this area that I'm weak, God. Because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. You see, when you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's something that happens to us every time. If we do something that's not right, there's a conviction that takes hold of us that we don't have no peace, any peace, until we repent. I don't know about you, but I know me. Even if I say something that is not right, I got to make it right. I got to ask for forgiveness. I got to ask for forgiveness from the person, and I got to ask for forgiveness from God. Because why? I don't want to have that stuff holding over me. Hallelujah. Because the devil will use that thing every time. He'll use your mistake to take you deeper into hell. Deeper. He'll use it. He says, so now we can tell who are children of God. Verse 10. 1 John 3 and 10. He says, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. You can't fool God. It's right here in the word. We have to make an effort to console each other. I was praying last night and this morning. I was asking God and thanking God for compassion and asking God to cause compassion to well up in my spirit even stronger for people. The Bible says, Romans chapter 6 and 23. You know the scripture. But we're going to go there to look at it for ourselves in the King James Version. We're going to look at it word, letter for letter, word for word. We all know the scripture by heart. But look at it for yourself. Romans 6 and 23. Listen to what Paul says. He said, for the wages of sin is death. Talking about spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Which way are you going to continue to sin? To die eternally, spiritually. Where you can live eternally with the Savior by living right. David went to him, cry out. Go to Psalm 51. This is not in my picture. This is not in my writing. But let's go to Psalm 51. Got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He wants us to look at this. Because all of us come up short from time to time. I don't care who you are. We all come up short in our mind. Sometimes in our actions. Listen to David. David says, this psalmist is the chief musician. A psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone into Bathsheba, after he had sex intercourse with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David cried out to the unmerited favor of God for it to be upon his life. He's in deep in sin. He is in the waters of sin. But he's crying out to the Savior, the one who can put him back and right standing with the Father. I'm talking this morning about understanding the evil we are facing in this age. We can't sit around and play church. If you hurt me, I got to come to you and let you know. So we can forgive each other. This is what's going to help us to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. He says, wash me truly from my iniquity, continual sin, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge my error. And my sin is ever before me. He says, against thee, this blessed my heart many years ago. When I read this the first time as a young believer, and I was still living and diving in crack cocaine, womanizing all that stuff. And when I read this verse here, it took me to another dimension in Christ Jesus. I began to see him at a different realm. I began to see him as the master of the universe, the controller of everything that moves, everything that lives and breathes. He says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Listen, David, let you know that God sees everything that we do. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And he begins to talk to God about how he came into this world. Bless me. But that one verse there changed my life because I thought that I was sinning against my wife and my children. And I did. But mainly I was sinning against God as a born-again believer. And it changed my life. David says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. This is what God wants. Not a nice fine suit, not a fine dress and a nice wig on your head. He desires truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God will clean you up from the inside if you repent. If you are willing to repent and turn from your sin. He said, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. God wants to heal us. God wants to clean us. But we have to be willing and stop being full and puffed up full of pride. Would rather pull your sister down before repenting. Rather pull your brother down before repenting. Tell everybody about your sister. Tell everybody about your brother, about your nephew, about your cousin, about your aunt, about your husband, about your... Everybody before you repent, get right with God. David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know if you ever taste hyssop. It'd be the bush. And my mama used to get that hyssop, and she called it stuff, she called it bush tea. I'm talking about, she's talking about something green. Green and bitter. But whatever was in your belly, that's what it said, purge you. It cleans you from the deep inside of your intestines. Everything come out of you. Coal, everything that's in your body comes out in the bathroom. David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, sometimes sin is so destructive that when you live in a sinful lifestyle, you feel like you're broken all up inside. And the only one can make you rejoice again on the inside is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear me this morning? Listen. David said, he said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, the inside has to be changed. We look good on the pulpit. Stand up there with that nice three-piece double-breasted. Oh, my God, looking the single breast. Look real good on the altar. But we are like a whitewashed tomb. Apostle Washington used to see it all the time. We're like a whitewashed tomb. But inside is stink. There's a stench on the inside that need to be cleansed. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto. See, people can't be converted if we continue to live in the life that contributes to God's word. Let's go to another scripture. Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We need to get this stuff. I got the sermon here written already from last night, but we're going to get this stuff. Let's hit you with the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let him do the talking. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's start at verse 15. King James Version. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. Now, see, God and only, he said, look, if you be obedient to me, if you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. God is not concerned about your tithing and offering now. God is concerned about the worship that you're giving him from your heart. Your lifestyle is a worship unto God. And this is what God's looking at for us. To live this way that give glory to him, so that people, David said, transgression will come to know him. People that are living in sin, when they see you walking in the light and your light is glowing all over, they want to know what it is that making you look different, making you different to them. They're concerned. Whenever they get an opportunity to talk to you, they're going to want to know about your Jesus, because your lifestyle is calling them. It's a magnet to draw them to him. Hallelujah. So he says, listen. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, listen to what he says, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish or die, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou possess, thou passest over Jordan to go to possess the land, even though you're going to possess the land that I already promised your forefathers. If you deviate from me, if you leave me and go worship it and give it what I created you to do, for me, and you give it to some other idol, he says, some other entity, you're going to perish. Your life is not going to prolong. He said this. I mean, this is a powerful word right here. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Listen, Moses telling them. Moses giving you what God gave him to give to us. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Do you know that when you live the life to praise God, and your life is glorifying God, that not only does you prosper, but your seed also prosper. Your seed also pick up on the life-giving source that you are producing as you serve him. Do you know that? You find out that your children no longer want to live in sin anymore because that you are pronouncing and a divine energy is flowing through you and it's hitting your children. Think of what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and 20. He said that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and that thou mayest obey his voice. See, it's not just saying I love him, but see, when I'm having a conversation with him, he's giving me instructions that I must follow. Hallelujah. The Satan is a fallen Satan. They're following all that stuff that Satan tells them to do. Drink blood, eat liver, eat kidneys, eat brain. All this stuff they're doing now. They're eating the brain. They're eating the baby brain. They're eating the baby umbilical cord. Drinking the juice from the all this stuff Satan tells them to do. And God is telling us just simple things that we don't want to follow. Obey my word. Honor my commandments and my statutes. And I'm going to bless you. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your seed and your seed seed. Oh my God. Ah, this is not hard. He said, we're making it hard. He says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and that thou mayest obey his voice and that thou mayest cleave unto him. We got to get closer to God. We need to get closer to him. Spend more time with him. Stop trying to impress your neighbor. Stop trying to impress your husband, your wife, your children. Get closer to God. What God wants to say to you, what he wants you to do, he wants to give each and every one of us preachers some instructions because the world is going upside down. And God wants to give us instructions to reach the world for the kingdom. Point them to him. He said, For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, thou shalt, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. This is the word of God. God giving us. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I got a few more scriptures I want to give before I go. I got to go to see this doctor today. So let him check out my body. Could I had a doctor for a little bit. My doctor just leave and decide he got to go. I don't know what he's doing, but all of his patients had to get new doctors. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 14. This dog is calling me. You want to go? Proverbs chapter 14 and verses 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we think that we're doing something, it sounds good, feels good, looks good, tastes good, but it's leading us to death. It's not leading us to eternal life. And God's telling us to choose life. This is what he wants us to choose. He wants you and I, us, his children, to choose life. And not only choose life, but to have this thing in us that would draw other people to him. You don't want us to just be able to say stuff because it sounds good. We study the word of God. Somebody was telling me this morning that they're getting promoted in September. They're going to have these degrees and all this stuff. And I said, God is good. But I pray that God continue to keep you focused on what he's doing in your life. Don't let the piece of paper that you get in your hand make you put your chest up and become puffed up. That you're around, said, well, I'm going to get a doctorate degree. That's good. But study the word of God and sit with the word saying. Don't just put the paper on. I got a friend here in Boston. I got the four walls in the office. And all four walls in the office got a piece of plaque on the wall. Well, that same pastor would cut you out. will cuss you. I'm talking about cuss you out. You know what I'm saying? But you go in the office and it's holier than anything you know. But you do the wrong thing. And they'll give you a piece of their mind. He says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It doesn't please God. It just leads to death. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16 and 25. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are almost there. There is a way, 16 and 25, same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why is God repeating himself two times? God wants us to get this thing. Go to 2 Corinthians. He wants us to get it. If we live contrary to God, guess what happened? We're going to die. We're going to die spiritually, because all of us are going to die at some point in time. But you don't want to die spiritually. You want him to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. Listen to what he says. In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine on them. You see what's going on in the world. When you see people getting on TV celebrating Satan and taking the King James Version and tearing all the pages and throwing on the floor, and other people are sitting, people not waiting to college, they got degrees. They got every degrees, but no heavenly divine anointing on them. And they're mocking God's word and calling the name of God in a different ways, and all of this stuff is going on. And God is saved. The God of this world is blinding their eyes, blinding their minds. So the light, the power, the divine anointing can't shine through to change them. And they believe that they're right. They believe that they got the right way. And but you see, the problem is that we got leadership. Jesus, Holy Spirit. We have leadership in this nation that is seconding or first in that on an agenda. Sanctioning that agenda, the satanic agenda. That's why God is calling for his people to take a stand. Take a stand for righteousness. Take a stand for holiness. Don't try to be so prolific. Get in the word. Get in the word. He said, 1 John chapter 5. Let's go back over here. 1 John chapter 5. We did something over there. We didn't go all the way where God wanted us to go. Let's go down to 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 5. We was up top. But let's go down here now. Here, John says, we know, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one, Satan, toucheth him not. Satan going to come around, going to play around you. If you truly know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Satan going to come around you. He's going to come around you. He's going to play a hula hoop around you, but he can't touch you because you are covered spiritually in the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot touch the blood. I don't care how much noise he roar. I don't care how he roar and how he make noise. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He's seeking who he may devour. He's going to roar. Don't let his roar bring fear upon you because you do not have the spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. You stand secure, flat-footed in Christ Jesus. You stay secure. He says, and we know, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are talking this morning, understanding the evil we are facing in this age. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I had this thing all written out here, but the Lord says, let's go. We're going to show you something that the Lord says. Let's go. Matthew chapter 4. He said, and when the tempter, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus has just finished fasting 40 days and 40 nights. After fasting is when you're going to face the temptations, the trials of the devil. Understand what I'm saying? It's not going to be smooth for you. You say, well, I'm going to have all of this power and all of this anointing you're going to have, but you're also going to have a lot of testing, a lot of trial after you get off your fasting. This is where you've got to be prepared. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't walk around with your head all messed up and jacked up because you just got off. Then you've got to be prepared because the devil coming after you then. You're right then. As you say, I just got off a 21-day fast. I just got off a 40-day fast. I just got off a 3-day fast. Listen, that's where the devil going to show up. He's going to show up with everything that he has because he wants to see if you're going to still stay flat-footed. The Bible says, but he answered and said, Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Listen, the devil. See, he of course, some of the stuff. Want to talk like Jesus. Do you hear me? Listen, why you need a discerning spirit to know who is talking. You need a discerning spirit to know who is talking to you. Is it Satan or is it Jesus? Is it God talking to you? Which God is talking to you? Is it your flesh talking to you? Is it Satan talking to you? Or is it God, the eternal Father, speaking to you? He said, no. He said, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So he is quoting now Psalm 91:11. He said, Jesus said unto him, Jesus and Satan having this go back and forth talk, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms, not just one kingdom, but all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. See, there's glory on the kingdoms. I want you to understand this. There is glory on the kingdoms. God put it there. He put the glory on the kingdoms. And Satan is showing Jesus the glory. Like Jesus don't know. And said unto him, all these I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You don't know how important worship is. Well, let me tell you how important it is. It is so important that the devil is willing to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Important worship is. He said, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. I'm tired of you, no, Satan. I'm tired conversing with you. You got to go. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus said, look, let me get me. I'm tired conversing with you. You got to go. Let me let you know where it stands. First Thessalonians chapter 5. When you go through a testing, you're fasting. I know we come up somewhere, we're going to have great power. I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that. But you're also going to face some serious temptation like you never faced before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I said to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Paul saying to the Thessalonian church, he wanted to know if they were still standing in the faith. Or if Satan the devil had come back and tempted them and caused them to fall away. He wanted to know. Because see, when you make a decision to follow Christ, a lot of people think about it going, okie dokie, I call it okie dokie, skipping through the truth. No. It is trials and tribulations. Jesus told us that. You're going to go through trials. Storms are going to come. And sometimes the storms come from your brothers and sisters of the household of faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. It comes from them. The one that you least expect would try your spirit, your walk, your life. Here he says, Ephesians chapter 2 and 2, wherein time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, one time he had control over us, but he no longer have control over us. Why? Because we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We belong to Jesus now. So Satan has lost the battle. Hallelujah. He has been defeated. So you can put your feet flat down on the ground and say, no matter what I'm going through right now, I already have the victory through Christ Jesus. Not something that I did. He did it. That's why I can testify we have the victory. Revelation chapter 20. This is the last scripture I'm going to release today. There's so much that I had written down, but man, this is so good. Revelation chapter 20. I always got to get some from this book. Excuse me. John said, I saw, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. Glory to God. Let me see how I write that scripture down. Glory to God. My. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. We thank the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus. Let's jump verse 4.
Everyone who sins.
No. Verse 4.
And I saw thrones, and there sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Jesus 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And on such the second death has no power, but there shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Don't be disturbed by the evil that's in this age that we're in. We must understand it. How do we understand the evil of this age? By studying the word of God, getting into the word of God, and as my pastor used to say, get the word of God in you. Hallelujah. Get it inside your heart. Hide it in your heart, David said, that word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. We got to get this word in there. And then when we get the word in there, we'll be able to stand flat-footed. I would like that. Stand flat-footed against the enemy. The enemy will know that you know who you are. You see, if you don't know who you are, you're afraid of standing flat-footed because you figure you're going to fall over. No, stand flat-footed. God give you balance. Stand flat-footed. Allow the Lord to lead you and guide you in all truth. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for those that came on and heard this powerful word that you have given to us today, Lord. Father, you are speaking to us, and you have given us ears to hear the truth. We ask, O God, that you continue to enlighten us to the realm of holiness. We ask, O God, that you not allow us to move to the left or to the right. Let's not deviate from your word. O God, we ask you to prime us again with fresh enlightenment of your truth. Lord, touch everyone under the sounding of my voice, and even those that are not here physically, that may be listening by computer system, Android phones, iPads, or however they're listening, Lord. We ask, O God, that you strengthen them for this war that we are coming, that will come upon us. The physical war and the spiritual war is real. And Father, we know that we cannot survive this war without you. So we ask for strength, Lord, new strength to stand. And we know we'll be able to stand as you give us the strength that we require. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. If there's somebody out there that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to truly repent and turn to Christ Jesus. Just repent. Right where you are, you may say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to repent. What is it all about? It just means that you have to stop doing the things that you were doing that were against the word of God. The things that were keeping you from serving God or getting close to God, you know, just repent. You know, you were so caught up in the world system that you said, I don't want all that stuff they're talking about. I don't want no Holy Ghost. I want to have this, you know how we say, because we listen to what people are saying to us. They say this stuff to us. You don't need all that stuff, man, but you need all this stuff. But the Enoch that was talking with Philip, he knew that. He had sense enough to know that he needed Jesus. Because after Philip talked to him, he said, look, I want to be baptized. And when he saw the water, he got baptism happy. He said, Lord, what would stop me from being baptized now? Because it's water. You know, you have to get to that place where you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that, don't go into this stuff just because somebody asks you to. Know that you need to be saved. You got to know this thing on the inside. My pastor used to say, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you need God. You got to know, get to that place that you know that without him you are nothing. Hallelujah, glory to God. And even when you get to know him, you got to know him more and more and more every day, every day. You got to get a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You might say in your own head now, you know, that you are young. And all the stuff that the young people say, I don't need all that stuff right now. Because the world tell them that, you know, you're still young, you can do this. You may say, your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it, heaven, eternity with God, or everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that person is you. Only you can choose
or determine your eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, like some of these preachers are saying, there's many ways to God. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. The only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I'm still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in all of this. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. He says in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. And every time I read that, he didn't say I was coming quick. You know, somebody say quick, you say I'm quick. But he said, I'm coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. So we have to be ready. We can't get ready when he pierced the skies with the angels and trumpet sound. We got to live a life that is ready, a prepared life to receive our Savior. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you're walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's John 3:16-17. And the Bible said that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whosoever believe on him will not be ashamed. Acts 2:38 says that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lose when you choose Jesus. The moment you choose him as your Lord and Savior and you get baptized in his name, he gives you a gift. He grants you an eternal protection. And while you're in this realm, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will teach you. He will protect you. He will keep you. He will heal you. He'll do all these things because you have become a son or daughter of the Most High God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity to repent. Just search your mind. And you can see all the things that you do, all the things that you have done that is contrary to the Word of God. And just repent. Just say, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry for the life that I've been living. I've been living contrary to your commands, your statutes, and your laws.
And today, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I will live my life how I choose, whenever, wherever, and however, doing whatever I choose. But today I've heard the word, and I believe that what the word says, that you died. And you were crucified on a hill called Calvary, or the skull, Golgotha. And I believe it, Jesus, that you died for my sin. You died so that I could live. I could have the right to the tree of life, to the fountain of life. Jesus, today I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you with great expectation. Jesus, I'm asking you to enter my heart and take control of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole again. Save me and I'll be saved. Heal me and I'll be healed. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that, pray that I believe the Holy Spirit gave to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, you know it's more than that. Because people say, well, they say that you go on now, you save, but you got this. Now you have to do some work. Paul said you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to get a Bible. We recommend you get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you can start at Genesis if you choose to. But study the Word of God and invite the Holy Spirit to be your coach, be your teacher. He's a great teacher. He'll make the things that seems hard in the Word of God, he'll make it understandable to you, that you can understand who the God you're serving, the true and living God, the one who gave his life for your life. Gave his life so you could have life. He paid the price that you could not pay. The debt you could not pay, the debt you owe, he paid it for you. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell him, say, look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying my word, and I want to be baptized. And you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, you know, because a lot of people still baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because they're dealing with Matthew 28 and 19. Because they don't have the complete understanding that Matthew 28 and 19 says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the name of those are titles, but then you have to get the real name to those titles, that's Jesus. But before you get baptized in that, which we call the liquid grave, you want to invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because this is a great time of your life. The greatest time of your life where you have given your life completely over to Jesus Christ and you're going into a liquid grave and you're leaving all that you were holding on to of this world in that grave, that watery grave. And when you come up out of that grave, you're coming up in the righteousness of who Jesus said you are in Christ Jesus, in God. And then find a church that's preaching and teaching and get yourself involved. You know, I always tell you I started cleaning the church, cleaning the bathroom and all that stuff, picking up the trash around the building. And all that stuff, the pastor saw, and God saw, that I was keeping around his house clean and inside his house clean. And he promoted me that now I'm able to teach and preach the gospel. I thank God for each and every one that received the gift of salvation today and those that will receive later. And even if you backslide, I pray that if you backslide, that you said the prayer and recommit yourself to walking for Christ. Because, you know, sometimes we'll be backsliding and don't even know we're backsliding because it's not a sudden dash. People backslide a little bit at a time, and then the next thing you know, they're not studying the Bible, they're not praying, they're not fasting, they're not going to the house of the Lord, you know, and they're way back there. And they say, well, I still love the Lord. I love the Lord. But you're not spending time with him. It's like having a husband or having your wife, but you don't ever sit down with them and talk. Don't have a conversation. You don't have to have sex all the time with your wife, but you can just lay in the bed and just talk with her. Sit on the couch and just have a talk with your husband. Just talk about we say kicking the bobo. Just sit down and talk about anything. How was your day, baby? You had a good day today. How's your body feeling today? Are you feeling okay? How's your health? You know, she had a little cold. So how's your cold doing you? How's your leg hurting? Is you all right? You feel no? Kick it with her. You kick it with the boys, you kick it with the girls, kick it with your wife, kick it with your husband. you know. So you grow old together, you know, in love. That's the way you got to do with God. You got to spend some time with him. Spend a lot of time, not sometimes, spend a lot of time with God so you get to know what he requires of you. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I'm finished. Thanks for listening to me. And the line is open for anyone that want to respond. The word was good and strong as always. So you can come on in if you want to come on in. This is your time.
God bless you, Pastor Taylor.
God bless you, Minister Jones.
God bless you, man. I'm all we're praying for y'all. God bless all the ministers and apostles and pastors and evangelists and everybody in their respective places. Thank God for a good sound word. I try to be on every day when I can. Sometimes I have to rush off because of work, but I enjoy the word so much. I love how you went through all the scriptures. I can't help it when you got the anointing and the Holy Spirit will lead you in that. But you can read the word. But you have to study to show yourself approved, right, divine, the word of truth. You know, not just to preach, but to live, you know, to know the truth. Because we're in an hour now, you know, it's so many doctrines out now. You know, you got swappers and moppers. Prophets and markers is out there that's like you were saying, the woman tearing up the Bible. And people saying, oh, Jesus ain't coming. They're just waiting on the man in the sky. And they're putting the people crazy. We get caught on that. You said these things going to come. And I was just listening to what you were saying. I was looking at Psalm chapter 2. I'm trying to read a little bit while I'm driving. Say, Psalm chapter 2 said, why do we even rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. And the kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break the bands and asunder and cast away cords from us. And he said, look at that. He said, look at what they're doing now. You know, they're doing everything they can to push away the word of God, push away truth. And that's why it's so got to study, you know, hearing the apostle saying to tell about studying. It ain't just not just for the ministers. You don't have to be a minister to study the word of God. You have to study. You want to study the word of God. And then you need the Holy Ghost, too, also. While you study, you know, you want to ask God to help you. You need to understand the word because, yeah, many people have studied the whole Bible, read the whole Bible, as some say, and they still don't understand it because it takes the power of God and the Holy Spirit for you to understand God's word and his doctrine and his word. And so, you know, a lot of some people just don't understand it. So it's good to study. Not only just study to understand God's word and know how to live, to know what you're dealing with in this hour, because you got so many doctrines, man. You got all these different doctrines of man, and they have made God's word be none of it, and have people thinking that you can come to God any kind of way and live any kind of way, do what you want to do, and you know, everybody saved, and you know, you got to tell people all the time, read your Bible. You know, even Romans chapter 6 say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue seeing that grace may abide? That's for ministers, anybody that claims Christ. You know, if you already been saved and your body's healed with Christ, then you should live any kind of way, but we're in the hour now. Well, everybody, you know, you can do anything, and then people say we cover by grace. You know, I mean, grace, God, grace don't give you a license to sin. Some ministry, not in every ministry. Them the ones that are hollow church. But you got two different churches. You got a holy church and you got the hollow church. And so you got to know the differences. You just in an hour now, I feel sorry for people that's just coming in because they really don't know the difference now because let the world tell it. In America, everybody say it. You got all type of churches. I mean, everybody say it now. You got the gay church. You got the, you know, churches where you, they walk around and they're nude. You got churches where they got bars in churches now. But you can drink beer and then go and worship God about you drinking beer. And so, you know, people don't know because they don't read the word and they believe what man say over what God say. That's why the Bible say, our heart is deceitful. You can't even trust the whole heart. How can you trust man if you don't have the Spirit of God? And you shouldn't follow anybody. They're not following Christ. Any leader that you crucify, anybody out there looking for a leader, ask God to give you a good leader that's after his heart. That way you won't be deceived because so many people have been deceived by anything goes. Do what you want to do. And then some people like those type of churches. They think they're going to live any kind of way and still going to go to heaven any kind of way. So, you know, the word was good, man. It just sad what's going on there. I said the word. This ain't the word. The Bible said that man's heart is going to get worse. They're going to get worse and worse. And that's what's happening. Man's heart is getting worse. They don't want to change. People doing what they want to do. They got their own way. They don't want to follow the word of God no anymore. Everybody got their own way. They got all these different ways now. You know, you got even celebrities. Because they got, and you can't even listen to these celebrities. Just because a celebrity got a lot of money or a preacher that got a lot of money, tell you more, that's a lie. Ain't no more than way, because if that was the case, then Jesus Christ would have never died. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me, but let man tell it. And how we living in now, heaven, you can go any kind of way to God. You can go through Buddha. You can go through Krishna. You can go through Lucifer. It, anything goes, you can go to God any kind of way. And that's the foolishness that they say now. They're saying, and you can go to God any kind of way. Forget what his son did. Forget the blood that he shed on Calvary. Forget what he done. And we can just go to him our way. That's what he tell you. When you got witnesses, you got people say that. Well, man, I got my way, and you got your way. It ain't never one way. And I tell people that all the time. I say, it's never one way. It's not my way. It's not your pastor way. It's not the celebrity that's on TV that got money. Because that's the problem too, that we have in our country too. Because somebody on TV, and they got money, and they got all this status and quote-unquote money, they think they can counsel somebody on the word of God. They don't have a right to counsel you on the word of God because they got money. And that's the thing that hurt me about Steve Harvey and all these different things. Whipple Goldberg, and you got, Oprah Winfrey and all these people, because they got money. They think they got a right to speak on the will, on what God wants us to do. And God never called either one of them, but because they got money, they feel that they got a right to tell somebody how to come to God. And when you hear what they're saying, there ain't nowhere in the Bible showing what they telling people to do to come to God any kind of way. They're telling people to come to God any way you want to come, and there's many ways. And what they're doing is because you got other countries, and every country, they worship Yah. They call them Yah. The mother call them Yah. In some countries, they say they go to God through Buddha. And so they're saying that, you know, because that's the way other countries do it, there's many ways. And then even though they're doing it that way, Christ came. He died. That we can come through him. Our God sent his son and died. And they say, okay, y'all go ahead and come another way. That's a way to sacrifice. And so, you know, that's the trick of the enemy. And that's why you have to read the word and really have to pray, because we're in a time where they got scholars and markers. You got people, you know, like that that video where I seen the same video that he was talking about how they were tearing up the Bible. You know, tearing up the Bible. They really, you can't tear up the word. The word, God's word forever settled in the heaven. They can burn every Bible on this planet. God's word is not going to change because of how man feels. They can burn every Bible. They can burn down every church. God's word is still settled in heaven. After his son died, the word was already settled. So man can do whatever they want to do. God not for the change in mind what he already done said. And so that's just sad how people believe and they can just do that and just blaspheme against God. That's just the time we're in. So they don't believe because that God ain't did nothing yet. And they don't realize they already turned over to sealed conscience and reprobate mind. But they don't realize you already been judged by God. Whether you know it or not. You are knowing God already to wash his hands with you. So you're going to do whatever you do until you bust hell wide open. And so it's just sad what's going on, man. It's sad. And it's just a hot mess, man. What's going on? We really have to pray for these children because it's getting worse. Because number one, the churches have got away from prayer. You know, you don't really see a standard anymore. And then the leaders in America don't have a standard like they have in Africa. I love what those leaders do in Africa. They standing up against the LGBT community, and they not going for that. They let them know, y'all, we not
That's
going
right.
for that. We standing over God. That's how we should be in America. But in America, I don't know what can happen to the leaders. They don't have backbone. They scared to get locked up or get persecuted or lose their big churches. You care more about the building than you care about how God feels. I was one of the saints for the preachers. Do you ever ask God how he feels? And so you don't really see the preachers standing up with the boys like them Africans. You know, and then you got America, the politics lying on Africans talking about they doing this and doing that, but you don't realize what they're trying to put upon them people. They're trying to persecute them people, take their land, then they're trying to force homosexuality on them people. Them people know that the judgment of God falls on nations. written that this is gonna come to pass. But we got to pray for them leaders. They like they kill all them leaders on that Haiti. That leader in Haiti because he didn't want to go with that vaccine. And they did that. You know, they want against their agenda, they would kill them and lie about it. And God gonna deal with them. He let them do it because he gonna kill them at the end. They think they getting away on this side, but they got, like I said, when they monitor us through our cell phone, they got all these monitors. They my God, angels monitoring them too. Everything they doing is being written down. They're like they sitting there watching us. God watching them too. And so it's just sad what's going on, man. And I'm like, what a boldness that. That's why I said, well, they pushing this new world agenda. But what are these priests gonna do when they tell you got to shut your church down when you if you don't go along with this new world order? You can tell if you let it happen because I overheard you say about Facebook. They had put me on probation because I was putting Bible scriptures on there. I said, man, I wrote back to them. I said, wait a minute, man. I thought we had freedom of speech. I'm putting a Bible scripture on there, and my Bible scripture offended somebody. I ain't cussing.
That's
I ain't on there for threatening nobody, but I put a Bible scripture on there, and they put me on probation for a whole month. And so I ain't really been on there. I get on Facebook every night. If somebody you send me something, I go on there, and then I get right back off. But I've been praying about it. I said, Lord, do you want me to stay on there? The only reason why I've been on there lately is because I still post stuff on there, but not Facebook, I got it. Well, they can control who you can send your message to. Like they don't, if you send a message on up and they defend any type of community, they'll send it to all your friends and won't let nobody else see it. And that's how evil these people have got. And, you know, and it's just sad what's going on. You can put, they can put nudity on there. People have a sick on Facebook. And they don't take that off of them. But then somebody put a Bible scripture on there. They're talking about sin. They want to say that. But then the Bible said it was going to be that way. They're going to call evil good and call good evil. And that's what's going on now. The Word of God.
That's
our God word already spoke there. We can tell that the Word of God is true because of what's going on. And it lets us know that we got to really get anchored in God. We got to really set our faith to everything of God. We really got to get, really anchored because persecution is really finna really come in a minute to the Christian church. And that's why I see preachers now. I say, what are y'all doing? Y'all not even warning the people. We got to build bigger churches, and we realize that this earth is not our home. We should be setting our affection on things, but we should be trying to figure out, man, we need to find where God is. We need to do like, we need to get somewhere and find, Lord, what you need us to do, because when they come, they coming after us. They coming to kill, take our homes and everything when we don't go along with this new world agenda. You know, and so, you know, we got to get there. You got to get full of the Holy Ghost because they finna put it to the point where you want to make a decision whether you want to keep living this life or go along or lose everything or lose your life behind this new world order agenda. And the church is not even ready because you got pastors not even warning people. Like, why you not telling people that? And then someone thinking that ain't important. Who gave you the right not to warn me what's going on? So I said, that's why I said, when stuff hit the fan, apostle, a lot of people going to be mad at their leaders. Because their leaders not telling them, or either they don't know, or they too blind, or they know and they think it ain't important because they don't believe that we gonna be here for some of this stuff before the rapture come. We gonna be here for some of this stuff. We been here all this time. Look what happened with the pandemic, with all the COVID and all that stuff that they put out because they wanted to depopulate a certain amount of people and a certain race of people. I'm gonna leave that alone because I don't want to get into that. But they want to get rid of a certain amount of people after they did that. You know, a lot of our race has been replaced with other races. And so they did that to get rid of a certain amount of people, and they still doing it. They still put stuff in the food and in the water, and you're going to have the power of God to protect you from this evil that they're doing, spreading all in the sky, doing everything
they
can to kill off people that don't want to go along with that. And so we got to really get full of God because persecution coming, and we shouldn't be afraid. So not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, look up, rejoice. Because this is drawing near. We got to rejoice because we know that, okay, we know that God, he said it was going to happen. He told us that the church was going to be persecuted. He told us that they were going to stop, and that's what they're doing. The world, because God ain't did that. They talking about, oh, he ain't came yet. He ain't come when my grandma came. My grandma talking about all her life. And because he ain't came yet, they think ain't nothing going to happen. Is that why I said, is that like the Bible said, just like it was in the day of the Lord, so shall it be when the Son of Man coming. They were eating and drinking, getting married. What you see? Everybody getting married now. Women getting married to women. Men getting married to men. They marrying animals. You got the pedophiles trying to go to the Supreme Court, trying to get a law passed for them so they can marry little boys and little girls. It's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just,
man.
And the word said it's so happy. And then that's why I said we got to really get full of God, and then we need to help our children get full of the Holy Ghost. You're in churches, we
yes,
shout and dancing. The children don't have the Holy Ghost, and these children got to face, well, face it with more hell than we ever face. But they all in the school trying to push Luciferian class. I see the video. I don't know if I sent it to you, Apostle, where they got a video where they got the children in the circle on a pentagram worshiping Satan in the class, in the library, in the school now. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah,
I seen
it.
Put a,
that's
a
right.
Big old, big one of them big what they call those big buses where they I forgot what they put right here in Detroit where they put one of them big they did a big those things they be crunching up spirit and they say like 5 or 6 people fell out in that area and they built a big
yeah
one.
The star the pentagram
they built a big pentagram and then those little thing, but the thing moving around and with the numbers on and the words on, I forgot the name of that thing, but you'll figure out in a minute. But I just said, we got to really pray, man. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. Man, we ain't never need God. We need him now, man. And then, you know, like you were saying earlier, we got to get out of get put aside every weight, everything that evil says, even the hope that you got to get your brother, man. All that stuff got to cease, man. Because we in an hour now, we're going to need all our energy on the altar and all our energy to help people get saved because of what we're getting ready to face. And we're going to really need God to move like never before. We're going to really need the power of God. All this playing around is over with. We got to really get shit just about God. But I love you, man.
Love you too, man. Truth is good.
Yeah, I love you unconditional. I love everybody on here. Don't have no love. I don't have no issue of getting nobody. I love everybody on here. You know what I'm saying? We might not agree with everything on time, but I love you anyway because you still my brother, sister. Paul and Peter didn't agree. But at the end of it, they came back and understood that they were doing the work of Christ. And that's what we got to get to.
That's right.
We got to know we're doing the work of Christ, and these souls are more important than we, you know, trying to, you know, prove ourselves to each other because it's time to prove God. God bless you. I will bless you.
That's right. Bless you so much. Bless you so much, my minister brother. We thank God for you. Thank God for your input. And it's true. Yeah, I've seen that stuff. You know, we just had, and I was saying it yesterday, you know, we just had all of the satanic warlocks and witches from everywhere. They come from far away and near. You know, they flew here from different countries and some a lot from all different states. Man, there were thousands upon thousands of them downtown here in Boston. And, you know, then you started stuff on the internet. The lady up there tearing up the King James Bible and that, and they're making fun and laughing. That, oh, yeah, that's good, and all that stuff. They were saying all kind of stuff. But, you know, it's sad. And, you wouldn't hear when some of them going to fall out, you know, because some going to get saved and some of them going to get saved. And some of them going to fall out, you know, because some is not going to repent, you know. We got a man there on YouTube that he lived in New York City. He was a warlock for the devil. And he said he went to hell and how many instructions he had from the devil to kill people and all, make sure that people was put to death and all kind of stuff. But he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And now he is an evangelist for God going all over the world. Any testimony. Some will get saved. That's why we got to pray. Like you were saying, we got to pray. We can't go back in the box and say, well, you know, we not going to pray. I'm going to say nothing because they working for the devil. No, I said, God, you touch the hearts because you're the one that can change the heart of man. You're the one that gives them the heart. You know, even Satan. You talk to Satan. Didn't you tell Satan this morning? Get behind me. I have enough of you. Told him this. We read in the scripture, Matthew chapter 4, something, get hence, go, get behind me, go away. I had enough of you, you know. Only worship God and God alone. You know, so this is what God is calling from the church, as you were saying, I say too, the church has to become the church again. And no church got to get it from the deep sleep that the church is in, begin to have a watch night, you know, have watch night where we go and pray for 2-3 nights straight. You know, just pray, and then you're coming on Sunday morning to preach, and you can't preach, but God, Holy Ghost says it's going to be a praise service.
and we begin to intercede on Sunday morning. Oh, my God, just praying. And then you stop somebody, start praying. And when that person stops somebody, start praying. And the Holy Ghost will come in there, and people will begin to get healed and changed. Because right now, it's not in the pastor's hand anymore, it's in God's hand. You know, you have to be ready to make sure, you have to be ready and willing to change your word when you come to service and well, whatever God wants to do this morning. You know, I studied for 3 days. I've been studying 2 nights to deliver this Monday message Sunday morning. But as I got here, God said, no, he's got a word for the church. And because God got a word for the church, that's the word the church going to get. And there you go where God lead you. Sometimes you don't even get a chance to open the Bible. You just flow right out of the Spirit. Right out of the Spirit because you got word inside of you. You know? So anyway, but the line is open. Thank God. We got some more people come on the line. We thank God for you all on the line. The line is open.
I meant to say that was a Ouija boy, Apostle. A Ouija boy.
A Ouija
that
boy, yeah. I taught that too.
They built a gigantic Ouija board in Detroit and released somewhere. He called a whole gang of people in that area to fall out. And some of them died, some of them didn't. They had to get rushed to the hospital. And so, thinking about Elijah being that time where you had all of them come out. And they coming out bold because they looking at the church ain't got no power. And it's time for the sons of God to stand up. If you really want the power of God, we really need God to give us some real power from on high like Elijah and Peter them had to be able to face these witches and warlocks that we're dealing with because they are real. And just like we got altars and we got radio broadcasts and all that good, and we got, they do too. You know, Satan got a five-fold ministry. They're like, God got everything that God did. He copycat. So we need to stand up and do what God called us to do. We call you to preach, preach. We call you to prophesy. Do whatever God told you to do, but do it under the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you won't be bumping saying anything that God didn't say. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, I had that on my mind to the Ouija board, too. But I was thinking the pentagram. You know, this lady, I was seeing somebody, I don't know if you sent me that, but I saw it last night on YouTube. A lady in somewhere, she's in Arizona, she bought this big house, young lady, young woman, she had a couple of children, 2 boys, and she bought this house, saved all her money to buy this three or four bedroom house. And she bought this nice house, and she moved in the house. She moved in the house, and in the walls was filled with snakes, rattlesnakes. And she said she didn't even unbox her stuff. She was scared the snakes gonna get in her clothes and stuff. She had to pay $1,000 for the snake man to come in, and she don't even want to go to the bathroom. I would say it to myself. I wouldn't have posted that stuff on Facebook. I did. I would have, after that snake man come, I'd have put that house back up for sale. I wouldn't go in that house. She says she's scared to go to the bathroom because she's scared a snake won't come put the toilet. There's snakes everywhere. Yeah. But another lady bought a house too. Now when she put up the carpet, you know, that's why I think Prophetess Jackie sent me that when the lady put up the carpet under the floor with this big pentagram, people that was renting the house were Satanists, that had the house was Satanists. And they put down the carpet, she, you know, after they was getting ready to leave. And the lady put up the carpet because she didn't like the carpet, and underneath the carpet was this gigantic, was taking up the whole living room. She didn't know there was a lot of people was in that house that was worshiping. People was coming to that house to worship Satan. I say you got to clean that house. Clean it before you live in it. Any place you go into, you got to go in there and do some incantations, and you got to rebuke, and you got to cast out, open windows, open doors, and cause spirits to leave, demons to leave, because you don't know who in that house before you got there. You got to go in there and pray, anoint the place, clean the house up for the Holy Spirit to take his rightful place. But anyway, the line is open. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We thank God. We appreciate you. Your mom was on for a little bit. She was on with us for a little bit. We got to get her to come back and preach for us. Come and preach for us when she got time. You know, her busy. Anyway, the line is open. All right, Minister Jones, you're right there. Go ahead and pray us out, because I'm going to go get myself situated to go see this doctor. And
yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord. Thank you for your word. God, you say your word forever shall in heaven, Lord. You say, whether two or three are gathered in your name, you've been in the midst of us. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us to hide the word of your heart that we won't sin against you. God, keep us and cover us with your word, Lord. You say that your word, the steps of a good man are ordered by you, and that's your word. Lord, we just thank you this morning for the dividing of your word, the dividing of your truth. God, help us, God, to overcome darkness, Lord. We keep pledging against every attack of the enemy and everything that he tried to set, every trap, every sorcery, every enchantment. We plead the blood of Jesus against it, Lord. Every witch and warlock, we plead the blood of Jesus, God. You say, what are we buying on earth? You're buying it. You say, where are we loose? We're loose on earth. God, we loose your power, your anointing, God, on every woman and man of God on this prayer line today, God. And they'll be able to walk in your calling, Lord, and do your will. God, help us to go on to perfection in the name of Jesus. And we'll do your will and stand up in this dark hour in the name of Jesus and do what you call us to, Lord. Lord, finish the work that you have begun in our life, God, that we can do your will. Lord, help us, Lord, that our work won't be undone when we stand before you. Lord, save our children. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus against suicide. That's caught off the land, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus against human trafficking and everything that's happening. God, we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to keep them on Africa, Lord. Keep them in the name of Jesus. Keep them a leader. Keep America, Lord. Save our young people. Save our people. Lord, help our preachers and leaders, God, that you have called, God, to do your will, God. Awaken them, Lord, that they are walking your anointing. In Jesus' name, God, keep this radio broadcast, God. Continue to anoint, God. Bless the finances of this radio broadcast, God. Bless this man of God, God, for doing your will and keeping this radio broadcast open, Lord. We'll be able to bless your name and give your name the glory on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. We'll talk to you soon. And if you have your mother, if the prophetess, I'll send her a message, if I can get her coming on Friday to bring a message on Friday. You know, God bless. I'm going to be going to the Caribbean next month. I'm going to spend about 16 days in the Caribbean. But I'm going to bring the message from the Lord. Let the computer work right. We'll still be able to bring the message while I'm over there. And then when I get back here, the Lord do what he said he's going to do. We're going to take a trip to Ghana. We can go over to Ghana to do some work over there for the kingdom. You know, because there's much work that needs to be done. And the Lord is pushing us to continue. So that's what we're going to do. All right. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Be safe out there. We thank God for you. Thank God for your family. Thank God for Pastor Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank God for everyone that came on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you all. Bye-bye.